When I was in grade four, my gym teacher put me on the track and field team for the 800-meter race. I have no idea why he did that. I went to the district meet, and I came second out of two people. And then the next 2 years, he continued to put me on the track and field team for the 800-meter race, where I continued to come second. 1 year, it was out of three people, but the other year, it was once again out of two. So by most of the metrics that you consider to matter, such as winning, I did not do all that well. I did not meet expectations. I was perhaps a bit of a disappointment. And yet, knowing that I was not particularly fast at running, or even that I had had any training, because he didn't bother with training for the track and field team, I continued to agree to go to these meets. And in fact, in grade seven, he put me on for the 1600 meters, where I came first at the district meet because I was the only person running. Yes, needless to say, at the city meet, I came last. So for me, as someone usually picked last in gym, with all the stereotypes that go with it, it was quite an accomplishment to be chosen at all. And it also mattered to me quite a bit that although I was definitely slow, I stuck with it. I always finished that race. And I always added a little sprint right to the finish, even though there was no way I was going to win. We probably all have experiences that we could think of when we have shown up and followed through with something, knowing that in some way we would be seen as failing, as not achieving what others wanted us to achieve, as being a disappointment. And that's what the story of Jesus today is about. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, he knew the stories and prophecies of his faith, the ones that proclaimed the future coming of a new king who would free the people from oppression. And he knew that people were telling these stories about him. He knew the violence and the suffering that was a part of life under Roman rule. And he heard the talk of those crowds that were placing the hopes and expectations on what he would say and do now that he was coming to Jerusalem at Passover. And he also knew that he would not be doing what they expected or what they wanted. They wanted that choir anthem, Jesus on a white horse, freeing the people, not hindered, sword in hand, bringing about a new kingdom where they would be free. And that's what they were shouting when they were shouting Hosanna. They were shouting, save us, free us from this oppression. Be who we want you to be, a king of your people. And Jesus came in the midst of all of those expectations, knowing that that wouldn't happen. That he had no intention of picking up a sword and riding on a horse and bringing about a kingdom through violence, the way those stories had told. And he knew because of that, that something else would happen, that those in power would use violence to stop him, that he would lead, his choice would lead to his suffering, because he would not be what the people wanted. And yet, although he could have chosen an easy option of either being what the people wanted or not going to Jerusalem, at such a dangerous time, he still rode in. He rode into those cheers and celebrations, to the hopes of the people. And despite all this, he stayed true to who he was, to his path of peace, to his path of speaking truth to the powers he knew would crush him. And so he came in on a donkey, that humble symbol, unlike the Roman horses of war. He came in upsetting all the expectations from the very outset in that strange parade. And then in Mark's story that we heard, he came in and he looked around and he leaves again. He doesn't even do anything when he gets there. At least in Matthew's gospel and Luke's gospel, Jesus does something. He comes in, he makes it to the temple, and then he starts overturning tables. He takes action. He stands up for what is right. But in Mark's story, he does that, but not this day. He comes in, he looks around, and he leaves town again, upsetting expectations, being a disappointment. And then even when the disciples think they have him figured out, they don't, because they see this extravagant nard being poured onto him, anointing him, and they say, no, this should be used for the poor. That's what you've been talking about all along, caring for the poor and those in need. And he says, no. He disappoints that expectation as well. He says, that's not enough. It's not just about caring for those in need. It's about something more. It's about being extravagant in your welcome, irrational in your generosity. No, love demands even more of you. So many people, maybe some here, maybe some not here, approach faith, Christian faith or another faith, with a set of expectations, with our own version of the hopes of the crowds. And many of us long for certainty, or for answers, or for healing, or for hope. We long for someone who will come in and set things to right. Many of us cling to ideas of the promise of heaven as a reward, or the idea of earthly rewards for good behavior, and look to faith as a place where something greater than ourselves can ensure that we get what we deserve. And even those of us who don't really think that, when we think about it, might still catch ourselves saying or feeling things like, it's not fair. I didn't deserve this. Why me? Or he didn't deserve that. We long for a God that is powerful and just and in control, who will bring about that vision of what can be. And then we come here as part of that crowd, and we see Jesus come in today, walking beside a donkey that doesn't even turn properly at the front of the sanctuary because it's on wheels. And maybe our palms don't wave quite as well as we wish, because we don't find a God of might and power. We don't find a golden throne and angels and Jesus hovering in the air. We don't find anything that fits these worldly, these earthly expectations. But this is what we see. We see the divine. We see holy love in the figure of a man, a frail human being who plods along slowly on the back of a donkey, moving forward even though he knows he will disappoint everyone. Moving forward into the midst of suffering and pain, knowing he could choose to turn away at any time, but not doing so. because it is the nature of God, the impulse of the divine, to travel with humanity in the midst of all the suffering and the pain that exists in the world. It is the heart of the sacred to journey with us, even when we turn away disappointed or run away afraid. So this strange parade begins as a parody and a promise, and it ends with Jesus paraded through the streets, arrested and alone, because we are not alone. Because God's love, wherever we are walking, is with us. So what do we do with that generosity, with that love? We respond in many ways. And one of them is through this ritual of presenting our offerings.